Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the ground. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of prayers. We are not coming. G'day, punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We are looking for back-to-back-to-back good weeks here on the podcast. We have been going quite well, and this week there is racing just about everywhere. We've got feature racing in Adelaide with the Sangster. We've got the Quokka over in WA. It's not so good in Melbourne and Sydney, but nonetheless there is racing. There's Anzac Day racing at Flemington, and then, of course, the big meeting on Sunday, Hong Kong International Races. Bot's heading over there, and he's hoping to bring back a Mr. Brightside win. Fellas, we're pumped up. How are we going?
Mate, I'm so excited. I'm all packed. I'm flying out tomorrow morning, so hopefully you'll see me on TV when he wins. I'll get my big head on TV.
What's the method? How are you going to try and find the cameras, or how are they going to try and find you this time around? You're in a different country.
Oh, they just find me, mate. Nah, they know.
Oh, they know. Have a listen to this. They know.
Have a look at him, Clark Kent tonight with the specs on.
Oh, I know. I was gonna say to him before. What's doing here? He's going like under a different identity when he gets to Hong Kong.
Man, I've worn glasses like my whole life.
You've never worn glasses on the podcast whilst we're recorded.
Maybe you just don't pay attention.
I reckon he's just started packing for Hong Kong and he's realised he's found them. You know when you're packing for a holiday and you're digging up your room and you're finding things that you haven't seen in a couple of years.
Yeah,
a bit of that going on.
It's always fun. Oh, Benny and I will be packing our bags anyway. Fuck Hong Kong. The best carnival in the world is next week. So nowhere else you'd rather be. Unfortunately, you're going to miss it.
Yeah, well, I was trying to get back for it, but then I'm going to Japan after anyway. So
you need something to commiserate your soul anyway. But
trumpet.
Right. We're gonna I'm just saying it's gonna be good. I might not come back. Who knows? If Mr. Brightside wins, that's the last.
You were gonna love Hong Kong and Japan outside of Australia. Yeah. I think they're the two best countries in the world.
Until he gets flustered like a little schoolgirl and he just had enough. He's like, Mum, take me home.
One thing I will say about being in both Hong Kong and Japan is you want to back a few winners because every second food shop and every second clothes store, you just want to buy something new. And it can be expensive if you can't contain yourself, which I could.
Yeah, well, I need you to give me a couple of winners for Sha Tin on Sunday.
So. Well, what if I tip
you? We've already told you.
What if I tip your Voyage Bubble?
We've already told you the one.
Well, I'm not going to be fucking backing that up.
Yeah, what are you going to do your ass, champ? So, unlucky, son. Just have your entire bank account on Kaying Rising at $1.20. You've got enough in there that'll pay for your trip anyway. Better than bank interest.
No
comment.
No, it's fine. We'll do that on Friday at Flemington.
You got to remember that Bot's mum listens to this podcast, so we can't be disclosing any staking or any figuring.
That's okay. He only needs a couple of hundred bucks for his trip. He'll be fine.
She's not stupid.
Oh, Nico, are you drink in hand?
Yeah, of course. I'm airborne. I'm just gagging for the fields to come out tomorrow.
Carlton dry.
Already got my morning set out. Know what time I'm going to have my coffee. Got the iPad. Got trials written down. Got notes to finalise. Oh, I'm flying.
Beautiful.
I'm ready to go. Don't worry about this weekend. Next week's the real shit.
Yes, the answer is yes, but you need to go get yourself a drink. I've got...
All right, I'll be back in a minute.
I've got a nice glass of vino here, and it's not nice. It's actually my mum's $5 Shiraz, which tastes like petrol. But nonetheless, it gets the job done. And I've always said it, maybe one, max two glasses on a Thursday, Friday night, you sleep like a baby, an absolute baby, Nico. It's the
my head'll hurt if I have that shit.
It is a bit harsh, like Pinot Noir is much better.
I can see.
Is that a cider bot?
Fierceness?
No.
What is it?
Looks like a 7-Up.
Stomping Ground.
Oh, it's a craft beer.
Pale ale.
Oh, yeah, well, that's real body. That's real body.
Yeah, real sit to piss behavior. That
it's either Guinness or pale ale.
Real sit to piss behavior.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well.
Let's move on. A bit of jargon off the top, but what punters really care about and what everyone cares about on this podcast is trying to find winners, and that's what we're going to try and do. But we got Friday racing at Flemington. Obviously, it is Anzac Day, so it's a day of remembrance. We pay our respects and are thinking of the families who might be, thinking of their loved ones who served. And we've got 5 to 20 millimetres of rain. It could be coming during the meeting. How do you play that?
You know what I'm going to say.
Bot doesn't believe in that stuff.
No, it's just, it's Flemington. Like, yeah, I mean, it'd have to be a lot of rain for it to really make a difference. But
rain on race day, doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, but it's Flemington. Like, it's not like it's going to be pissing.
Yeah, but Flemington doesn't also drain as good as what it used to. And it's also not in the middle of summer.
Yeah, it does.
I would still be
Liam O'Keefe. Liam O'Keefe has been stated multiple times to say that the joint doesn't drain as well as it used to, and the track's in its twilight phase.
No, I think that I just think it's gonna be fine. I'm not projecting an on pace advantage or anything like that. I'm just Flemington as usual.
Boring response as usual.
Sorry,
I reckon it's gonna be a soft track, so I reckon you want to be finding horses who at least get through soft going. Thunderstorms predicted in the afternoon and rain during the meeting. So it's going to be interesting. Race two is where we start. It is the Les Carline. Famous racing poet, Les Carline. 1,400 metres, benchmark 70 for the fillies. And Rockin' at Midnight bought $3.10 favourite. You were keen last time and keen again this time.
Yeah, it was in at Mornington last Saturday.
Yes, didn't run.
They took it out and we backed Thames. Oh my God. Sorry. Stacky. Come on, mate. But no, Rockin' at Midnight will get the money we put on Thames last night back. I think it, the resuming run was really nice. It was in the inside lanes where you didn't want to be at Caulfield that day. It was, from the go, the inside two lanes where you did not want to be. He was there. Sorry. She was there. I just love what it did in the maiden at Moonee Valley that day, just ran the hands off the clock and it sort of backed that up first up. And I think it can, I don't love 14, 1400's a little bit interesting for me. I would have loved 12, but I think this is just a horse that I just want to be on irrespective of that. And I'm not impressed by any of the opposition. I think that this horse's stakes quality and the rest aren't really. So just one horse I could have something on. I'll be on a plane, so I can't really back it, but I'll probably just set something. Yeah, I'll probably just set a Betfair SP bet on Coste, who was off the map on its Australian debut and didn't really give any under Stephanie Hatley. It looked like it was laying out the whole, I don't know, it looked like it was maybe even injured, but Graham Begg backs it up here. So it's one that I could have something on because I think the market won't like it. The bots will be confused by it. So
so many buzzwords here.
How's that? Whatever. Just back rocking at midnight and save on Costa.
Sweet.
That's all you need to know.
Running the hands off the clock is what Bot says about that bet, rocking at midnight. I don't think that's going to be a phrase that's used too far in the future because there's less and less analog clocks going around and more digital ones. So might be one of those things that goes extinct. Race three is an 1800 meter benchmark 70. No fuss. $3 favorite coming off picket fence form. From Freight Train, needs another win, $5. Ganacho is $6.50. Detroit City, $10. And Grey Ice, also $10. Is Jewel accepted at the Valley? Bot.
Yeah, I've liked what this No Fuss has been doing since it's arrived to Australia. It's by John Snow, who was a Derby winner, so you'd think it gets out over ground. It ran really nice late time at Sandown first up, and then they put in, a test of stamina second up. It wasn't the right spot, but it hammered them, and Liberami was two and a half lengths back in second. It should have won by about 15 lengths on Wednesday. But you know, the track was, I don't know. I won't go into that, but yeah. No fuss is the bet here. I was very disappointed with what Freight Train did. That was against where you wanted to be on the day at Bendigo, but it can bounce back. But yeah, I just want to be on No Fuss. I think it's the progressive horse, and I think the market will like it and start to about $2.60.
Yeah, I agree with Bot for what it's worth.
Hallelujah! Scary here for once.
Yeah, well, good things happen to him when he lines with me. So good on him.
It makes me want to play it now.
Yeah, well, you may as well play it now, Bot. Because I think this is a fantastic bet.
No, I said lay it.
Hashtag play it instead. Don't lay it. Oh,
play it!
I might have no voice next week. I could be copping it from pillar to post. Could be a few declarations and hashtag play it's being said. And
I reckon there's going to be...
Benny's going to be there because I could be getting bombed.
There's going to be a few first-time bullers that are going to be out to get you, I reckon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well,
I'm going to be screaming.
I thrive with it. I'm going to be there for all good, all bad, all indifferent. But I think No Fuss will win here, and this could be a perfect vulnerable cup horse in a year's time. Fortunately, it's going to come up a little too soon. But I thought they might have even looked at a race at the carnival for him. But obviously, it's a horse that's had his fair share of issues. A bit like our man Bot, it's taken a little bit of while to get some work into him and some consistency. But, yeah, he's a nice progressive horse. Freight Train's a bit of a cat, I think. And Mick Price sort of alluded to the fact that that's channeled with Blake and with the camp. Shinny said at Sandown he was there to win and he turned it up. He didn't want to win. So they're there more hopeful than confident. And if he's your $5 second left in the market, I think you know what to do. Have a good bet on No Fuss.
Great. We move on to race five, which is the Anzac Day Stakes, 1,400 metres, two-year-old listed event. It's one of two iconic races on the day. Legacy Bound is one from one, $2.70 favourite from Stay Cosmic, $6.50. Amazake? Not sure which one that is. Amazake. Oh, it's got to be Amazake because it's by Amazake. Morris, Japanese horse, so it's got to be that. And Just Kick is $7.50, and that's where Bot wants to go. Tell us why Just Kick can win.
Don't know why this thing's still in the market, Legacy Bound. It's going to Adelaide, apparently.
Definitely going.
Is it going to Adelaide?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was the word today.
Oh, perfect. Because I'm a little bit scared of it, but I really so badly want to be on Just Kick. Do you know why it's called Just Kick?
Why?
Because it's very closely related to Giga Kick.
Oh, nice.
It's from the same family as Giga Kick and Alabama Express, and it's by Stafanos, and I love.
How do you know all this shit? Because
he's a freak.
I'm sick. I'm so sick. You just say the mum's name, and then you remember the mum's
name. No one knows that shit.
Yeah, well, I do. it ran like that Pakenham Maiden for 2-year-olds. Went really well. The time was really quick, and it was squealing home over the end of 1100.
Squealing home, Bot.
Like a pig.
Buzzword punters. Kick it off.
Yeah, I think it's a really, really nice horse. I love the stable. I think that they're a stable that you want to find. And it's by Staphanos, who I think is a nice enough side. You know, it's a Japanese. It'll get over the ground. I think 1,400 metres is at the lower end of its distance scale. And I just love this. I love this race every year. It's always such a great race. But yeah, just Keep will be the one I really want to be on. I think it'll, especially with Legacy Bound coming out, and knowing that I'm going to have more on, because I think Just Kick will start favourite.
Sweet. Talking about Squealing Home, Squealing Pig is actually one of the better wine brands going around. So it's not my $5 mum's Shiraz. Go and get yourself some Squealing Pig. Highly recommend. Race 6 is the VRC St. Ledger. 2,800 metres, three-year-old listed event.
Snooze fest.
But you're gonna bring up some good memories here of horses who might have won this race, including one of your favourites. But format's $4.80, Sitsipas $5.50. He carries the Anzac Silks, number one saddlecloth. West Indies $6, Tel Aviv $6.50. Then your way out to, we'll skip a few because the one that Bot wants to mention is number 9, Wimmera Star.
Yeah, well, Allegro won this race, so it's a race close to my heart. Yep. I had a really good bet on Allegro that day, and that was like when I first started betting, and I just love Allegro so much. The way he won, Ollie Slaughter, he still had 15 lengths on him. It's just the best.
I'm still in arms.
Can I just tell you, a horse that I had a very good bet on in this race going back many, many years was Cool Chap. I think he beat the Godolphin favourite on the day, who was like $1.90. Yeah, that was a very good horseman back in 2016. Anyway, Bot, tell us who you're backing. You're backing two horses, I think.
That's like 10 years ago.
Yeah, I'm old.
Do you know what happened with Form at last start?
Were you in league? What?
Do you know what happened with Form at last start? Swallowed Form his tongue.
It. Oh, did he?
Mm.
Well, he also tongue went 15 tie lengths on. Fast. Yeah, he also went 15 lengths fast, and I imagine that's what... had something to do with it as well. But yeah, I want to back Format too. He's the other one I want to be on. But Wimmera Star is the main bet. I think Wimmera Star is as good a, well, it's not 30 to 1 anymore, but $27. I think that's as good as a sort of longer odds chances as you'll see, I think. It was given none really at Sandown and comes out of a really strong race and did a lot late there. It finished as strong as La Valliere, who was a Derby hope, you know, and this isn't necessarily a strong race. So against the older horses, I really like Wimmera Star. I think it could start single figures. I think it might go off. I really, 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 really like it. And I also like Format, who started in the market in italic. And I really like that rating that it ran at Kembla Grange, and it's Gay Waterhouse, and it's Ben Malham, and it's going to lead, and it's going to run him into the ground. And it'll stay. It's Frankel out of Nikita, who won the Coolmore Classic, I think. So these sorts of ones, you know, I just think he's a nice horse, and this is a perfect race for him. He'll stay, he'll lead, and I don't think the rest of them are much chops. So, yeah, the two bet play for me here.
So he does. Let's move on to race 7. It's a 1,100 metre benchmark 78. You win some, you lose more is number 11. It's the $5 favourite from Midtown Boss 550.
What?
It's just...
It's lose
oh, yeah, some. Taking the piece.
I altered the name slightly. Cadigo $6, Moonhaven $8.50, Chevelle Chic $8.50, and Impressive Enough $11. Nico, you found a bet here.
Yeah, this is a fantastic bet. I was keen to back this horse even when New York Luster was in the race, but now I've got complete confidence because the horse is not there. Number 11, lose some, win more.
I thought you were going to go with Midtown Boss.
No, Midtown Boss.
Midtown Morrow.
Midtown Morrow.
You can have it.
Oh, God.
Midtown Boss couldn't win if he started now.
Mate, you almost cost me more. My RSN gig labelling that horse when we all went in.
Everyone fucking labelled him. It wasn't just me. He has got the heart of the size of a pea. Anyway, we're getting off track here. Number 11, lose some, win more. Barrier 5. Should be able to get to the best part of the track. Jamie on, 56.5 kilos. This horse boasts a good Flemington record. He was very dominant on his Flemington debut, albeit in a benchmark 70. This race isn't really that much better than that. It was a dominant win for Michael D that day, and then was obviously a short price favourite out to 1,200. And whether it had come to the back end of their preparation there, I think it was in slightly inferior going from the top of my head. Yeah, I just think it's a really good bet. I'm really happy to be with it. And I think at $5, I took $5.50 earlier. I think that's a fantastic bet in this race.
Sweet. All right, happy with that. Race 8, we see King Zephyr go around. I think he'll just win. Probably not a bet for me at the current $1.70, $1.75 range, but chuck him in your multis because I think he's a group horse.
Well, if the rain comes tomorrow, you just know that if Beg keeps him in, I think you can back him in. Obviously, it's a horse that's never seen soft ground. But yeah, he's a very progressive horse, probably deserves to be odds on, but a little bit better would be nice.
Yeah. Otago is obviously the horse who does have some big figures to his name, but he's off a very long break. So he's obviously coming off an injury. He hasn't raced since the Australian Guineas of 2024. Another one of those highly spruced.
$10.
What was that, sorry?
Otago will start.
Yeah, he'll drift. He's another one of those.
Pure Alpha's got ability too, but yeah. And he likes wet ground. So he's probably the one if it does get wet.
Yeah, he might be the danger.
He's probably the danger or the.
Otago's just a watch.
If King Zephyr was to come out and it was to be wet, I think Pure Alpha is the one that you focus your thinking around. But he's definitely probably the danger with a bit of cut in the track to King Zephyr.
What I was saying about Otago is he's just another one of those highly sprigged Price and Kent runners who got injured as a three-year-old, which happened to a few of them in recent years, which is interesting. All right, we go to Moonee Valley.
Maui.
Well, what else have you got, Bot? Maui. No, we're not.
Can save that for the around the grounds at the end, mate.
What's on Friday?
No, thanks.
Okay.
No, thanks.
Benchmark 52 doesn't count.
Moonee Valley. This rain that's forecast for Friday and potentially into Saturday is going to be a very big problem for the track and for many horses racing on the track. Obviously, the track didn't perform to expectations last meeting. There was a fair degree of kickback and there was a few diseases under the profile. And it's only been a month, really, for it to sort of recover. But if we do get 25 mils of rain, then it's going to be a heavy track, I would think. And that's going to worry a lot of horses, but it's not going to worry one in race two. This is a one and done job for the day. It's the only bet you need to have at Moonee Valley. It's race two, number four, LOU in the 1,200 meter benchmark, 84. A lot of damage has been done to this price in the first 24 hours of betting. So you might end up getting $2 plus, you might not. But this horse returned to his better form last start when leading throughout on what was a biased track. It played pretty much as a very soft borderline heavy track that day. And he's going to get conditions to suit yet again. Probably leads from barrier four. And there's just so many horses in this race who either get back or haven't really handled wet ground. LOU's peak performance did come on a very heavy track at Rosehill Gardens. He ran a weight for age rating of 95.1 and he got back to 93.8 last start. So he only needs to repeat what he did last time and I reckon he'll be taking care of him.
If he's evens, I'll back him. I just missed the price early, but if he gets out to like $2, $2.20 or something like that, I'll be on.
Sweet as. All right, where do you want to go next? We want to go to Morpheville.
Yeah.
All right. Morpheville, thinking a good track. A lot of the time at Morpheville, it's no real negative to be getting off the fence. It does seem a track where they do really fan on the corner and they use all of the track. So don't be too deterred if your horse is drawn out or if they're needing to make a big circling run, because a lot of the time they can sort of get away with it. The race we are going to start with is race number 6. which is the Queen of the South Stakes. It's for the girls. It's 1600 meter Group 2. Zelotti's is $3.70 favorite from Jenny Lala, $6.50. Miss Aria is $7, as well as Spirit of Camelot, and Lady in Pink is $9. Nico, who did you find here?
Very keen to be with my girl again. Where's my phone? Shit, it's
number 9.
Yeah. Zlotys. Took $4.20 earlier today. Think that's a phenomenal price. She's just an absolute little star. I really like her. I said last start that it would be the first of many group or listed victories, and we're actually on the way in the Uber from the function at the pub we were at on the way to the footy, and the phone froze at the top of the straight when Geordie was like peeling out to hook into the race, and Adza goes, nah, can't win. And then it like went from freeze frame to playing, and it was like when he swept past at the 50, and it was phenomenal stuff. We went off in the Uber. Things got pretty hectic after that. So, yeah. I think that was a bit of useless information that everyone didn't really need to hear.
But everyone loves
it. I think she'll win again on Saturday. I think it's a fantastic race for her. Geordie will just blend in at the right time, and she'll have a Group 2 victory next to her name. She's a horse I'm really looking forward to come the spring. Up to that 1,400 mile range, I think the world could be an oyster. Graham Begg just gets better and better with these mares as they come back each preparation. And, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what she can do on Saturday. I think she'll win.
Ladies man, Beggy. But I've noticed that you've sent in the races you want to preview, and you've said race 6, Moffatville yourself. You're stepping out of your lane a bit.
No, I said race 6, Maui.
You're kidding.
Don't worry about Maui.
You've spelt it wrong. You've spelt it race 6, M-O-R. So I've assumed you're talking about Adelaide.
No, Maui.
Oh,
that's why I want to talk about Maui.
You've full confused me there, because even in the group chat you were saying, oh, Zlotys probably just wins.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't rate on top, but what she did last time with the way the track was playing was pretty unbelievable. Like, I mean, Miss Aria has the last start rating that sort of jumps off the page. But I think you can probably back both of them, Miss Aria and Zlotys, I think.
Yeah.
Those are the two you'd send your thoughts around. Like Lady in Pink's a little bit interesting as well.
Oh, those are the three I've found. I've backed Zlotys at $4. Had a good bet on her. I've also backed Miss Aria at $8. She has the best ratings profile in the race. And Lady in Pink is just the one that you needed to forgive last start. Got back a very long way, and the race shape just didn't suit her. But Lady in Pink does have a victory over Miss Aria. And has beaten a few other horses. She's the number one saddle cloth in the race for a reason. So those are the three. But, yeah, Zlotys is the other main one. She's up to 1,600 metres, I believe, for the second time. She did try it, but that was in a Group 3 against Lecvade on a soft track there at Randwick last time, and maybe she'd come to the end of it. So she tries it again this time, and I think she'll be better for the experience. And as we said, Morville is a track where those run-ons get their chance, and that's what she is. Let's move on to race 7. It is the Australasian Oaks 2,000 metres Group 1 for the 3-year-old fillies. Benagil ran second to Treasure the Moment in the Vinery last time. His $4 favourite from Two Darn Lizzie, $4.60. Polymnia has been the one they've really specced today. Has been $6 into $4.80 in the last couple of hours. Moving Out's $5 and Cinch is $9. A 2-bet play for me here. The first of those is number 2, Benagil, who exploded last start up to 2,000 metres, ran a new career peak rating, obviously running Treasure the Moment to just over a length. They gapped the third place horse, and even though it's drawn out in 13, probably going to get back, I think she gets her chance, and she's going to be cherry ripe, fourth up, 2,000 metres for the second time, and comes off a Werribee trial. So she's had that nice little jump out between runs. Yeah, I think she's a deserving favourite, and I could probably mark her a little bit shorter than the $4.20. And the other one I want to be on is Moving Out, who won the Mornington Guineas last week. She comes here on the backup. Barrier 1 might not be ideal, but as I said, they often fan at this track, and most horses get their chance. if you look back to her Sydney form, her first up run, she got back a long way. She ran home well, but the race was all over. It was, you know, a very, very slow tempo. And then second up, I just don't think she really handled that wet track. So I think on the back up here, on a dry track, back to 2,000 meters and with an economical run, she is the main danger, and I'm backing both for a good profit. Anyone have any thoughts?
Yeah, Benadryl jumps off the page, but the other one that jumps off the page off as well at me, it's big odds, $73, Palavecchio. Do you have any thoughts about that one?
No, didn't even...
They snicked it.
It's obviously by Castlevecchio, I'm guessing.
It settled last and ran
yep, good
big time late. Yeah, that's, you know, in sort of interested me.
Hopefully the punters aren't up time. In arms and they need Palavecchio to get them out because they'll be in more shit.
Yeah, well, it could. But yeah, I do agree Benadryl looks the one. If they don't get too far back on it, that's the thing that Mark Zara's riding. So, and as you said, and... Two down Lizzie looks short to me, doesn't it? Like it's
she won't run a mile up a
I'm
well.
I'm not convinced she stays. I don't think she runs
2,000 meters. Sorry,
I don't think she runs a mile. I don't think she runs 2,000. You know, she ran really well in the 1,000 guineas, but that was a really softly run race, and I just don't think she. I think she runs. I think she gets a mile without wanting it.
And this is 2,000.
2,000 yeah. meters. No, no,
even,
no, thank you.
Even in at that 1,000 meter, 60? Even in that, sorry, oof. Even in that 1,000 guineas, Benadryl was climbing all over her heels late and went past her as they went past the line. Plimnia. Yeah,
Benadryl's always been a horse that's, sorry. So
yeah, well, Benadryl beat Athanatos two starts back. Athanatos, we saw, you know, his SP profile and what he's done this preparation has been really, really solid. So that's good form. And then comes out and runs so well behind Treasure of the Moment. Plimnia comes through the Adrian Knox. We've seen Belle Detail. She ran okay in the Oaks, but I don't know. The rating wasn't as good as I thought it might have been in that race spot.
Yeah, I think it had something to do with the time, but yeah, I don't think they're much good anyway. I think the Treasure of the Moment form's just the form you want to.
Yeah,
hang out too. I think.
And obviously,
good luck to the SEM boys.
Yeah, you can't knock
Cinch.
Yeah, you can't knock winning form with Cinch, but she's drawn Barrier 15.
And they reckon she'll be better with a bum to follow. Like Celine just took it up last start, just due to circumstances. They're actually confident because there's a bit of speed in the race, and they think that she'll be even better with a bum to follow. So if she can get 1-1 or 2-1, 2-back, 1-off cover, and yeah, hopefully she can run a big race for him.
Yeah.
She's got winning form and she's got, you know, fitness on her side. Like, I know Benadryl and horses like that have got better form than her, but they're also time in between runs. And at this stage of their career, some of them had longish campaigns. Sometimes that little let off in between runs is not always the best thing for them. So anyway, fingers crossed she's a good price for a horse who, you know, is going to run the trip.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
And she's going to be there a long way.
She's ticked the box. She's a big winner in the Tasmanian Oaks, running 2,100 metres nice and strong. So, yeah. Well, let's move on to the Group 1 for the day. It is the Robert Sangster Stakes for the fillies and mares, 1,200 metres at set weights. So the older girls carry 56.5 kilos and the three-year-olds carry 54.5 kilos. Climbing Star won this race and was an upset result last year, beating Benedetta. She is $6.50 favorite this time around. From Commemorative, also into equal favorite, Stretton Angel, $7.50. Asfura, $8, got to run 1,200 meters. And there's been some really, really good goes today for A Little Deep and Charmstone, both $9. Aviatrice has been well supported into 12. And she's got Pizzazz off the big Randwick win last start is into 13. The interesting thing is there's probably not a whole lot of natural pace other than Asfura comes across from barrier 14. Estriella, she can go forward. We know she can at her best, but they've been experimenting things at times. Dakota Lee and Osmar all want to be there. And then we've got a host of horses who are either in the sort of stalking middle or off sort of midfield positions. I'm going to go first. I'm backing a few horses, and my two main plays in the race are Climbing Star and Stretton Angel, the two Stokes horses. Climbing Star was awesome first up at 1,100 metres last start. She always improves second up usually, and 1,200 metres is right up her alley. So I think she draws beautifully in barrier seven. You can argue she's going just as well as last year. I think the price on offer out to $7 is very fair. And Stretton Angel, she was a clear forgive run last start at the Valley on that terribly biased track. It was close to bordering on heavy, and you just couldn't swoop and win. Before that, she ran third in a new market. She brings all the class form, and she gets back to a dry Morpheville track, which should suit her. She ran so well in these races last year, and I think she's going to be climbing all over them late. So those are the main two for me. Also give Commemorative a chance. I've had a smaller bet on her, and also Osmar, the two Godolphin horses. Nico, who do you like?
Well, I've got some bold opinions in this race. I wanted none of the Stokes fillies, and I don't think Asphoral will run 1,200. So that leaves me with Commemorative on top, Shock. Everyone knows my love for this filly, and I think barrier 15 for her is not an issue. She needs room. She'll get room from 15. Shinny going on is no negative. And I think if she hasn't come to the end of the preparation, which is probably my only sort of knock, Godolphin deep in a preparation, I think she is easily the horse to beat in this race. And two other horses that I liked at a bit of value have trimmed in a little bit. I think, although I've got a question mark running 1,200 metres, I think A Little Deep gets every possible chance on Saturday to run that. In form, stable rider, drawn well, to do no work, should get every possible chance. And I think the other horse, which is completely sort of left field, is number 14, Amina. This is a filly I've always had a bit of time for. 54.5 kilos for Jamie, drawn well, a bit of different form. Whether she's good enough or not, I'm not sure, but it's a race that's not dripping in cream and there's no clear standout, so it wouldn't really surprise me if most of these won it. And I think at, 20-1, I think she's a good dart throw in the race. So, yeah, Commemorative clearly on top, but I think you can have something on A Little Deep and Amina. But as I said, I really want to be against the two Stokes fillies. I think Climbing Star, she's probably the one of the two that I have less knocks on, but Stretton Angel, I'm just a bit sick of her. I've been with her a couple of times throughout the preparation. She's a bit of a gunner, and I hated her recent trial, or jump out at Pakenham. She got shoved along to beat her benchmark 64 horse, and it wasn't really nice work. It really, really wasn't what you wanted to see, so... I'm clearly happy to take a set against her, and I love Asphora. She's getting out to a fair price. Like, if she's ever going to run 1,200, it's probably going to be Saturday. She's going really good, but yeah, I think she's probably just a bit better at 1,100 metres. That's the way I saw the race.
Yeah, she was getting short footsteps even last start. I know she was first.
She
up,
was,
but yeah. Another 100 metres and Climbing Style beat her.
But at the end of the day, probably she's going to start $10, and it's not the worst $10 bet you've ever had.
No, it's not.
You know what I mean? Like, she might not run 1,200, but if she's ever going to do it, it's probably going to be Saturday. So that's, you're getting him a fair price to find out if you're that way inclined. But yeah, all things being equal, I would love to see Commemorative be a Group 1 winner on Saturday. Obviously, she was smashed in the Galaxy, where that was a silly barrier 1, was always going to be heartache, but a lot of people thought enough of her to start that short in one of the best handicap group ones. So hopefully she can beat a few girls who I think are a bit average.
Yep. Randwick, I'll just quickly speed through these. Soft track.
I was going to say something.
What? Oh, go on.
What now?
Can I say something?
What?
Yeah.
About the Sangster.
Yeah.
Well, just, I'll just cut you off quickly. Nico said not exactly a race dripping in cream. It's I've never heard a race described like that. But what's your thoughts on the race now, Blood?
I was going to say something about that. So you're telling me, sorry, you're telling me there's a race with not much speed on, and there's a horse that went over to the UK and beat Europe's best sprinters.
She's not a 1200 meter horse.
Oh, I mean, she ran fourth in a strongly run quokka. I think the idea that she's not a 1200 meter horse is just,
well, you should be having a good bet at $8 then.
I mean, maybe I could. No, I think $9.
I think the price is fair for what it's worth. I have out of the horses that I'm potting the most, she's the one with the less knocks. But 1200 meters is just a knock.
I'm just saying, to be the same price as a Little Deep is just absolutely insane to me. Is that not just mental? A Little Deep, who won at Flemington, beating Mayor's Handicap last time. Asfura won the King's Stand in June last year and won first up.
I'm a little flat, a Little Deep is not going to the Wongroom, to be honest.
Yeah, well,
she was my Wongroom horse before she won.
Benny, have a drink. There it is.
Have a drink. Have a drink. I've actually finished the $5 Shiraz, but that's right.
Yeah, well, don't go on refill.
No, I won't.
Anyway, Asfura at $9 just seems wrong to me. Looks like a $6 chance.
Look, I wouldn't talk you out of it, but I think 1,200 metres is a query.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough. But
if it was 1,100 metres, she'd be a chips in job. No question. No, it's going to be a long last 100 metres. $4
and move on.
Anyway, it's a good bet on paper, but she won't win. Randwick race 4.
You'll beat SP.
Number one.
You'll look the winner.
Number one, Zalassi should be winning. Her last start rating behind Wonderreach, who is a bomb 1,000 metre horse, was very good. And to be honest, he's up against not much here. So should be taking care of him. Passagiata is second favourite. And Passagiata, we know, is a little bit of a squib, if I do say so myself. Really, really should be winning that race. Race 8, I think, is a race in 2. It's a benchmark 100 over 1,500 metres between Ducasse and Greenfly. They are the two the market has found, $4.40 and $5. You might be able to get better. Ducasse brings all the class form. Ran third behind Just Folk last time and no issues on a wet track. It's a soft 6 currently and there is some rain forecast on the day. And speaking of wet track is Greenfly. Well, he famously won at the Bull a couple of years ago and I took him one out of the quaddie just quietly. And his last start win was awesome to nail Cool Jakey, who kicked for home, looked like he absolutely had it shot to pieces and he was held up on the straight. The negative is he loses Damien Lane and now has Dylan Gibbons. But the big positive is he draws well for his style of racing and he's going to get that soft track he loves. So, yeah, those are the two. Greenfly needs to come up to Ducasse's level in terms of class, but his ratings are good enough to do so. All right, let's go over to Western Australia where there's plenty going on. There's slot races in all three codes happening this weekend. I'm assuming the sun will be shining. It seems like it's always nice weather over there in Perth, and it's always good fours and good threes. We are going to start in race 7, the Karrakatta Plate, 1,200 metres, Group 2 for the two-year-olds. I think this is a race in 2.5, and the market has it right between Yes Queen and Tal Kanko, but Castle Road is your leader. It's currently $11. It's going to go forward. It's going to be there for a long way. But in the end, Yes Queen is one of my better bets of the day. I thought she was excellent last up. We've seen two versions of this horse. We've seen first up, she got burnt up on speed. Willie Pike went forward. It just didn't work out. She was 3 wide early. He pressed on. She got torched by other sort of roughies who were taking her on, and Luana Miss and also Tal Kanko came storming home and were able to grab her. So she still held on for second, but Tal Kanko was a fast finishing third. Tal Kanko was able to turn the tables on her last start, but they rode her, the exact opposite.
They rid her.
Rid her, yeah, that's not a word, is it? They went back to last. They were 13th of 13 from barrier 12, probably just because she got burnt up on speed the start before, so they were just trying to teach her something new. Well, she flashed home in some amazing sectionals and only missed Telkanko by a head. From barrier six, they don't have to be too close. They don't have to be too far back. They can just sit middle of the line, and I think she'll be taking care of them. I think she's a really, really nice filly, and 1,200 metres, no issue. But Telkanko is clearly the danger, and Castle Road is also needed to go into quaddie. All right, the Quokka, 1,200 metres. It's worth $4 million, I believe. Obviously, a slot race. So
$5 million.
So obviously,
yeah,
that is shared between slot holder and owners. So the actual prize money to owners wouldn't be, you know, the exact amount of the winnings. But overpass,
if you run top four, you make money. Apparently,
yeah. There you go. That's the breakdown. Overpass is the $1.95 favorite. He's unbeaten 4 out of 4 in WA. He's won 2 winter bottoms and 2 quokkas. Basically, he can't lose at the joint. Headwall is $6.50 from Front Page, $7. Western Empire, $8. And the Boss Lady was a good win last start, $11 over Joker's Grin, who's $19. And splitting that pair is the up-and-comer West Star at $14. Nico, tell us how this race might pan out and who wins.
Well, Overpass will jump. He will go forward. He will either lead or sit outside leader. He'll dictate the race. And he's as likely to win as the sun coming up tomorrow. Living, breathing, moral.
Wow.
Anyone that wants to stick up for Headwall, don't talk to me. Good horses find a way. Shit horses find an excuse. I think this horse is overrated and getting overhyped because he's been unlucky in races. Well, he'll be unlucky again on Saturday because he's going to be back and buried and in a world of pain, and Overpass will be off and gone. I think it's very easy for horses to get overvalued that really aren't that good. I'm happy to have egg on my face if I'm wrong, but I think Overpass is an incredible bet. Yours for theirs is reasonable. Obviously, we would all like a little bit better. 220 would be nice, I think at even money.
215 Ladbrokes and 220 now Boombet.
220 is the best price.
Yep. Yeah, I think even money is fair. Obviously, better than evens is nice, but yours for theirs is more than fair. Like, he's a horse that a lot of trainers and people that have travelled and worked with horses before have said going to Perth is arguably the hardest trip to do in Australia. This horse has been there and done it 4 times. I think he's just a phenomenal bet. I think you're stupid if you look outside of Overpass, and good luck to you if you do, but enjoy losing money because I think Overpass is just a phenomenal bet, and I really can't wait for Saturday. He's just a really good horse, and arguably this is the weakest race that he's running in WA.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's no Ballinipatina, there's no Amelia's Jewel, there's none of that type of horse here.
Yeah.
What's second favourite, Front Page?
Headwall from Front Page.
Headwall.
Headwall.
Yeah. Headwall's as likely as Front Page anyway.
Right, yeah. he's just got a dominant profile over these, and, you know, he was awesome last start.
He nearly won a TJ last start, yep. For fuck's sake.
Yep, only ran second beaten ahead by Briasso, who just got the better of him. That was a phenomenal performance. It's as good as he's gone, I believe.
Ever.
And that ties all the form in, like behind Briasso. Like, you've got Jolly Star, Jimmy Star.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, this panel's better than this shit. Fair dinkum.
Yeah. He's going to go forward here. Obviously, barrier 10. Whether he leads or lets one of these bolters kick up on his inside, obviously, you've got Front Page coming across. I think if Front Page crosses him and leads, it's going to provide him with the perfect bunny. He's going to be outside lead, just pops off the fence and does the same thing he always does. So I'm very keen on Overpass. I do have some early bets on. I've got Headwall each way to get my money back, and I'm also on Joker's Grin. He's got out to a big price for a horse.
No, you can have him. Yeah, he got beat by the Boss Lady last start. She's got fucking none. I love her, but she's got fucking none in this race.
I don't know. It was a very arrogant ride by Carberry. And he's out to 20.
Carberry.
Oh, we'll put it this way. Joker's Grin, $2.25 SP last start. The Boss Lady, $7 SP last start. The best price for the Boss Lady now is $11. The best price for Joker's Grin is 20-1. So I think he's slightly overs.
I just don't think they're good enough.
Yeah.
Their best chance in this race is not a 1,200-meter horse.
Yeah.
No, Western right. Empire is the best horse of the Western Australians, and he's not a 1,200-meter horse.
Yeah. I don't know what's next for him. They probably have those Group 2 1,600-meter.
Puffer was on with Gareth earlier. They're going on that same path that they did when they first bought him. So he's going to go to that Northern race.
Yeah, he'll win those.
And then he'll win that because it's like 1,300 or 1,400.
1,300
next,
yeah.
And then on ice, and then same preparation again. So this, you know what to do, punters. When we get those futures markets, third up, Gold Rush, MBJ,
yeah,
max bet job.
All right, so that is.
There's not much pace there, is there?
No, like, there's
that's,
not.
That's probably the.
Doesn't matter. Like, Parr doesn't have to lead either. He'll just let the race be dictated to him, and if he breezes, he'll dictate from there. If he takes a hold, don't matter. Whichever way you cut the race up, he wins.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, he comes in off a rating that's as good as he's ever run last time. He's healthy. He's got probably one of the best trainers in Australia. He's done it four times. And that he gets control of the race. There's no pace. Like, if he runs the rating he ran last time, they just won't see.
I just think the real big thing in his favour is he's been there and done it before. That's the biggest box that needs to be ticked for these Eastern State horses going across.
Yeah.
Well, I think the biggest tick for him is that there's like all of his dangers are just going to be five lengths off him. And Front Page, you know, Front Page is a great horse, but it's Front Page, for goodness sake. Like, with all due respect to him, but Overpass, if he turns up and runs, you know, anywhere near his form, he'll win.
Yep.
So, you know, he's 220 now, and they always seem to let him get out. Like,
he's
always competitive prices.
He's been good odds.
If he goes off $3, oh my God, I might have to get involved.
He goes off $3.
$3.20 in the winter bottom last year.
That's unbelievable.
$3 in the winter bottom prior to that. $6 in the Quokka, obviously, when he beat Amelia's Jewel. And the first Quokka, he was a big price, I'm pretty sure. He went off at $12.
Like $12, I think. Yeah, geez, I'm good.
Yeah, it's almost like you should bet interstate.
Yeah, he just gets controlled. Nah.
All right, done the Australian racing to absolute death. So let's go to Sunday. Let's go to Hong Kong. Let's go to Sha Tin. Obviously, this is one of the better tracks in the world. So despite the fact that there is rain over the next few days, I wouldn't imagine it gets heavy or really, really into the yielding, that's what they call it, soft range, unless there is rain on race day. And it does look to, even though there is a big downpour tomorrow, but you might arrive to some rain, it seems to taper off on Saturday and Sunday. The first of the group ones is the Chairman's Sprint Prize. Let me just get the race card up here. Firstly, the rail is in the A course position, which basically just means rail true. And when the rail is in the true position, often it plays extremely fair, but you can have those horses running on. At least that's how it plays in those December meetings. The first group one is race 5. It'll go off at 2:50 p.m. Hong Kong time. So that might be, is that 4:50 p.m. Australian? Yeah, it is. 2 hours.
It's 2 hours.
Kayin Rising is $1.20 favorite from Satono Riv is the Japanese horse $9 and Helios Express $17. You can write your own ticket the rest. Kayin Rising should be taking care of these. He's drawn barrier 4. He hasn't seemed to take any backward step. He's just going to drive himself straight to the front from that gate. Satono Riv went back to Japan last start and won a Group 1. It's inferior form to what Kayin Rising has been doing, but nonetheless, he's a place chance. He did run third behind Kayin Rising on International Day in December. Kayin Rising wasn't at his best that day, and that's why Helios Express and Satono got so close to him. Helios Express, I have backed for a place at $3.90 all in. I'm not wrapped about the draw in 13. It means that he's going to be spotting them a long head start, but I hope he can run on into the placings. And the other one to mention is Lucky Swain-S, who comes off a bit of a break, gets James McDonald on, has won this race in the past and looked very, very good doing it, but he's probably not the same horse he was. So Kaying Rising should just be winning. Any thoughts?
Oh, I mean, he's the best horse in the world, isn't he?
Best horse in the
best
world?
Best sprinter in the world, for sure.
Happy to say best horse in the world?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
No, the Hong Kong horse is the best horse in the world.
Voyage Bubble.
Romantic Glory is the best horse in the world.
Yeah.
On talent, Kaying Rising is the best horse.
Well, Voyage Bubble, I shouldn't have the hills in.
Yeah, no, we might be...
Yeah, Kaying will make a mess of them from Barrier 4 on Saturday. And I really can't wait for... On Sunday, yeah. I really can't wait for October.
The others might have to start on Saturday. It might be a gout sort of store gift operation handicap.
Let's not get started about the farcical handicap conditions at stall.
Yeah,
podcast will go for 5 hours.
Yeah. Race 7 is the Champions Mile. Voyage Bubble, $4. Mr. Brightside, $4.50. My Wish, $8. Galaxy Patch, $10. Royal Patronage, $13. Interesting barrier draw today. The three main speed horses who all want to go forward are probably Royal Patronage in 7, Chan Chan Glory in... Royal Patronage in 3, Chan Chan Glory in 9, and also Voyage Bubble comes across from 10.
Mr. Brightside will be there.
Mr. Brightside will be right there on the speed as well. He'll probably be in the box seat. Voyage Bubble, he's drawn 10, but he does have a lot of good early gate speed. My opinion in this race, I would love to see Mr. Brightside win. And I genuinely say that. I have backed him and he will be a small winning result for me, but he comes here probably at the twilight of his career when he might be a length and a half off his very, very best. And Voyage Bubble, he comes into, you know, this in absolute career peak form. He got shuffled back to near last start at 2,000 metres and was about 6 lengths off the speed at the 300 and still won by 3. He's a very, very good horse. He's been taking care of far inferior horses, but yeah, what price would you have Tom Kitten here, who did beat Mr. Brightside earlier in the preparation? I think you'd have him a fair bit longer. So I think Voyage Bubble at $2 is a very, very attractive price, and I can't see how he doesn't start deep odds on because these Hong Kong punters just love him.
Yeah, I agree for what it's worth. I love Mr. Brightside, and I think I'm probably of the same sentiment as you, Benny. He's probably going a touch later in his career. I think he's probably lost a couple of lengths off his dominant best form, but he's got nothing left to prove in Australia, so by all means, go and have a crack. But, yeah, I just think he's going to bump into a horse on Saturday that's on the up and that we haven't seen the best of yet, and he probably doesn't get the plaudits he deserves, Voyage Bubble, because he's got Kaying Rising and Romantic Warrior also in his backyard that probably take a bit of the gloss off him. So, yeah, I think yours for theirs for Voyage Bubble is more than fair. Hopefully Mr. Brightside gets every possible chance from Barrier 2. Just carts up behind Royal Patronage and he should take him into the race at the right time. But, yeah, my heart would love to see Mr. Brightside win, but my head tells me that I think Voyage might murder them.
That's Nico's buzzword for this podcast is yours for theirs when describing even money shots. Love that.
That's good. I like it.
Love that.
I'm going to start using it more.
Will, what are your thoughts on this race? Can you take the rose-coloured glasses off for one moment and try and analyse it?
Voyage B, Galaxy P, or Beauty E, Brightside in 5. Doesn't matter. He's going to win it. I'm so excited. I'm nervous thinking about it right now. I'm getting, like, tingles. I'm, like, so excited.
Honestly, if he does win this race, it will be one of the more remarkable achievements from an Australian horse in the last five. I know he's second favourite, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, but he's got like the everything is stacked against him. Really, like he's going there.
Yes, it is.
He's going there in the twilight of his career. I believe he's lost probably two lengths off his best form. He's got to travel to Hong Kong. He's got to go beat a horse that's arguably one of the best milers in the world in his own backyard at the peak of his powers on the up while he's on the down. There's everything against him here.
He got beaten a nose to Tom Kitten and probably should have beat him if Craig went a little, potentially a tiny bit earlier.
This is coming back gravy, on the line.
Tom Kitten would be...
Tom Kitten ran third in the Queen Elizabeth.
Tom Kitten would still be $7 here, $7.50.
Minimum. Maybe 17.
You know, it's interesting because the ratings that me and Ben use, Ben and I use, is have him regressing a little bit, but the time form guys have him right at his level. Like he's still that 1-2-4 sort of level. So if Voyage Bubble isn't his best, he's sitting there, and if he runs his 1-2-4 number, I mean he's probably going to go off $10 to $12 on the. On the whatever you call it, Hong Kong.
But he'll go off.
Who's going to go off $10 to $12?
Mr. Bryce.
Oh, you're fucking dreaming.
You might. Eight. You might get 7-8 if they really launch into Voyage Bubble. Sure. You might get 7.
Sure. I'll be on. I'll have a bet, and you know if he wins, and I won't be on the podcast for 2 weeks, maybe.
Oh, I would love to see him win. I just think there's so much against him, and I think 450 is short enough.
Yeah, I took $7 for
sure. I hope he wins,
but
I'll I'm just so excited, and I think he's a good chance of winning. Launched if he does, and yeah,
just touching on a couple.
He looks like a good horse.
Yeah, just touching on a couple other runners in the race. My Wish was a moral beaten in the Hong Kong Derby. Got back a long way. Now draws barrier one, short enough at $8. Galaxy Patch has been a bit of a disappointment, but he's. You can still lay claims to being one of Hong Kong's best milers, but he's a mile off, no pun intended, off Voyage Bubble. That's really the race. Red Lion, if it's a wet track, can run well. He's placed in a few of these big races before. He's currently 40-1. Beauty Eternal won this race last year. It is worth noting it was a genuine heavy wet track last year because it was raining. Big deluge during the meeting, and that saw Beauty Eternal lead, skip away, and beat both Golden 60, who retired after the race, and also Voyage Bubble in that race. So the big chance for Mr. Brightside is if it is a genuine wet track, which I don't think will happen, but Mr. Brightside loves the wet, and Voyage Bubble doesn't. So if there is rain on race day, you've got even more reason to get excited, Bot. All right, the last of the Group 1s is the FWD QE2 Cup. It's over 2,000 metres. Liberty Island, the grey up from Japan, is $4 favourite. From Goliath, $5.50. Rubilot, $5.50. Tastiera, $6.50. Cap Ferrar, $9. Prognosis, $9. And what's Alvencedor doing there? $10.
Cap Ferrar is the same price as Prognosis.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
He won a Hong Kong Derby.
That's unbelievable. I don't care if he won a Hong Kong Derby. Cap Ferrar. He could win a maiden in Australia.
It's crazy. There is some weird pricing here. Liberty Island, she was a bit disappointing last night in Dubai. She can bounce back.
She's been a bit disappointing for a while, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Once she ran second at Equinox in the Japan Cup, she hasn't really been near her, has she?
No. Goliath, he's more of a 2,400-meter horse, but his best in recent ratings is clearly the best in the race. What do you think of him? Have you seen his funny walking action with the string halt? Found that?
Yeah, weird. It's funny, isn't it? Imagine if he came to Victoria.
Yeah.
Forbes would have a field day.
They'd send him straight around.
Forbes would have a field day.
Forbes magazine.
He actually wants to come to Australia too, so that's the funny thing.
What, the horse or John Stewart? That,
mate.
Both.
Both of them.
He said that he wants to come for the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, from what I've seen is Goliath is a high pressure mile and a half horse, and I don't know this won't be that, will it? Like it's 2,000 obviously, but this isn't going to be. Would this be high pressure?
No.
Prognosis is a little bit interesting. Same price as Cap Ferrar. James McDonald jumps on board. Like
J-Mac can just ride every inch of little cat out of him.
Yeah, I can't talk. I don't know many of these horses at all. So
yeah, I'm on Prognosis each way.
Sounds familiar.
I've backed him at $19 each way. Got a bit of the mail that J-Mac was going to be stepping on, and I thought $19, that won't be lasting. So I've backed him. He's my best result in the race right now. He's one of only.
What is he now?
He's $9 now. He might get $10.
That's still fair.
Yeah, in a race where you can just poke holes in so many of the other runners. I mean, Tastiera, yeah, okay, but Prognosis is a better horse than Tastiera at his best, and that's the other Japanese runner. Cap Ferrard, $9, no thank you. Rubilot, $5.50. Like, you've got to be kidding Rubilot. He's another four-year-old for David Hayes who's gone through the Derby series, but that's a crazy price. Goliath, if you want to back him at $5.50, I wouldn't necessarily turn you off. And Liberty Island, oh, she's just not the same horse she was a season ago. So Prognosis looks a good play. Back him each way. J-Mac first time. Hopefully you can get him out of the barriers and hopefully he returns to his better form. It is interesting in the last couple, you know, preparations, his better form has seemed to be in Hong Kong rather than Japan. So maybe that's got something to do with the race pace and just being able to settle into position early and build into his run. And the other horse I had something really tiny on was, you know, another one I got a bit of mail on who would be riding. Heard that Zach Purton will be riding El Vencedor. So I just knew they were going to put up crazy unders for the New Zealand horse. So I took $21 each way all in. He's into $10. He'll be rolling there up on speed in a race that doesn't have a lot of pressure. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ran top three, but I'll be a little bit surprised if he won. Nico, any thoughts?
I think Prognosis will definitely get his chance, but
he's never won a Group 1 prog. This is his chance.
Yeah, well, I know why.
Well, he's run into Romantic Warrior a couple of times as well, to be fair.
V16er too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, see, this is what I mean. These horses sometimes just get overrated because they have bad luck and things like that. I'm not saying he's overrated, but he's a horse who should be a Group 1 winner. Yeah, well, he's going to have every possible on Saturday, on Sunday, you'd think. J-Mac on, perfect gate, now or never type scenario. I think you can gap Liberty Island. She's a hype train. Every single time she's been internationally to win a race, she's been MIA. And there's no possible way you could back her after what happened in Dubai. Just not, like, get your head red sort of shit if you're backing her. Like, fair dinkum.
Yeah, she ran second.
Is she favourite?
She's favourite.
She went shit ass in Dubai. Like, she shouldn't even be here off that run.
This is full of, like, horses that are seem like they're all, not non-winners, but, like, they're all, I don't know, like, they're not.
It's
they're
a questionable weak fortitude, but
usually this race is really strong. Yeah, like if this is at 2,400 metres...
This is like the sort of race I love to do. Like, pick the horse that hasn't, like, you know... Oh, a lot of horses haven't won here in, like, 400 days. Like, this is my sort of race.
Yeah, well, Straight Aaron, maybe Straight Aaron's your roughie. Straight Aaron did beat...
is he here?
Yeah, Straight Aaron's here at $26. He did beat...
Galaxy
He Patch. Beat Galaxy Patch last start. So he'll probably go...
That was crook.
He'll go in my quaddie because he's a talented horse.
That was one of the worst bets. That was one of the worst bets you'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that as well, but on a wet track, I reckon.
He hammered them. I don't know why they ever sold him to Hong Kong. He's the worst sort of horse for Hong Kong. I mean, he's done well over there, but...
Oh, because it's a four-year-old series, that's why.
Yeah, I know, but I should have kept him in Australia.
Yeah, imagine someone telling you that Cap Ferrar would be $9 and Straight Aaron $26 after he won that day at Randwick.
I mean, it's just absolutely completely mental to me that Cap Ferrar and Prognosis are the same price in a race. Like, I mean, Cap Ferrar is a nice horse, but do me a favour.
Yeah, I think that...
Give you a spell, you reckon, but...
That Derby form.
Yeah, I mean, like, Cap Ferrar, like, I mean, he's a nice horse and he had a nice enough profile over here, but, like, he seemed just like a Group 3 whacker over here.
Whack! And whack goes bot.
He got lucky in a...
Move the backhand.
He got lucky in a Hong Kong Derby. I mean, like, he was good enough. Roger Federer. He was good in the Rose Hill Guineas and all that sort of stuff. But that's not this. Prognosis ran second in the Cox Plate.
Yeah. If this is 2,400 metres...
Lacks a bit of winning form, though, old prog.
If this was 2,400 meters. You so would
seven races.
You would just about be declaring Goliath, but it's not. It's 2,000 meters, and Goliath, his better form does come at a mile and a half. And what he really should be doing is going to the Champions and Chaded Cup next month and facing off against Dubai Honor, and that would be a fantastic race. But instead, he's here at 2,000 meters. He can still win, but
do they stay?
I don't think so. I think John Stewart wants to bring him to, you know, for the this what do you call it, Royal Ascot and stuff, that sort of carnival.
And then he wants to bring him to Australia. Welcome to Australia, yeah. John.
Well, he might not have any horse by the time 2026 rolls around if he's on the plane every second.
He won't have any horse by the time she gets to Victoria.
Yeah. Yep. Grace will cut his legs off.
Once old love has her way, it'll be no good luck.
All right, let's do an around the grounds quickly. Anything outside of that? We've covered a fair bit of ground from the Nullarbor to Hong Kong.
No,
Maui.
Go on, give us your bets at Maui.
I'm from Maui. Have you seen that video of the guy?
OG Street Talk.
You'd fit in Maui, but
I'm from Maui. I definitely would not.
You would actually.
No, I'm really keen on one of Tyson's horses, who obviously owns Mr. Brightside, who we've had on the podcast, Understudy, who goes around the sixth race at Maui. He won a race at Mornington last start and was really, really good. The rating was there. The late time was just off the charts. The last 200 metres was mental. If he runs that rating and goes on with it, and I think he will up to a mile, I think he could put a hole in him. I think he's a nice horse Understudy, and this is a benchmark 58 at Maui, and he's progressive, and they brought him over from New Zealand, and it just ticks a lot of boxes, and he's about a
Tyson had a winner today as well, I think.
He did, yeah, I backed it.
Roll the dice.
It's got to be the luckiest owner I know.
Yeah.
Like, I know he buys a lot, but...
I don't know if he was too lucky with this one. I remember when he bought this Vinny Colt. He's now gelding.
I don't know anyone who's actually...
Now he's just a racehorse.
I don't know anyone who's even broken even on owning horses, let alone had a bit of success other than him.
Yeah.
I know he invests a lot back into it, and I don't know what his current financials are at, but he does seem to get a few winners, so good on him.
Yeah.
Understudy will win again tomorrow.
Yeah, and Tice is a Collingwood supporter, mad Collingwood, so he'll know all about the bloke from.
Yeah, we didn't allude to the best bet of the weekend at the start of the podcast. Melbourne, Essendon are going to get flogged tomorrow,
mate. We're in
If I wasn't convinced before when I was doing a bit of having a look who the ins and outs are and who's officiating the game, now I'm certain.
Well, they're $1.25, so you're not exactly tipping up
absolutely
the storm.
Absolutely certain.
Anyway, we'll move on from that. We need a back, we need a lay, and we need a prey. The podcast multi was 2 out of 3 last week, and I stuffed it up with Berkshire Breeze, but...
You backed a winner, so
I did back and tip the winner.
Hey, self-interest. Self-interest.
I did tip Banker's Choice.
The poor podcast listeners have been... They're down on their knees begging.
Come on. It's a $10 winner. Nico last leg of the multi. You can't be too disappointed.
But even Bot's done his part and you've let us down.
Hey,
even me. What do you mean even
I
me?
I was just glad that I didn't choose Swift Falcon.
Well, it's just formality that mine is win, this tick.
I was just glad I didn't choose Swift Falcon this time around. All right, Nico, I'll hand you the red ball and you can go first then.
All right. Best bet of the day. As good a thing as the sun coming up. Overpass.
Beautiful.
Moral. Living, breathing.
Yep.
I think the lay of the day, I can't quite understand why Athanatos is $2.50. He was rather weak over 1,800 metres last start. Yep. Steps up 200 metres. Yep. I know the race is ordinary, but he's ordinary himself. Can't understand why he's $2.50.
Yep. Don't know if he stays the 2,000
metres. Smash the pink. Nah. Does not stay 2,000 metres.
Yeah, I don't mind that from you.
He's the lay, and my value's probably, I think there's value in that Sangster.
Yep.
So my three selections in the Sangster. But yeah, I don't really have a big one at odds. But yeah, I don't think enough people have spoken about it. I think Athanatos is a ridiculous price.
Yep. Will?
I'll make Rocket at Midnight my best bet. And the horse in the St. Ledger, Wimmer a Star, is the best longer odds chance. One of the best ones I've seen in a while. And I don't really have a lay, so can't really give you that because I don't dislike anything enough.
Sorry, what was your best bet again?
Rocking at Midnight.
So that's tomorrow, Flemington race. Help me out here. Race two?
Two.
Race two. All right. My best bet.
King Zephyr. Make it King Zephyr. Get it home.
I've got two options here. I'm going to make it race two, Moonee Valley, number four, LOU, should be taking care of them.
I was going to say, you can't back down off your sword. You're the one who wants to tip it up.
Yes.
Deluxe.
Yeah. I got the early price and I said he's more of a $1.80 chance and he got into that. I think he'll get back out a little bit, so you can just hold fire. He really should be winning that. So all he has to do is repeat.
Couldn't pay me to have a bet on that track.
Yeah, but he'll be one that will appreciate whatever bias is.
I know. Regardless, I couldn't pay him.
Yeah. So that multi's paying $12.43. Get around it. It will win this week. There's the sound grab.
Mm-hmm.
Lays. I've got two lays. Morpheville in the Australasian Oaks. You can probably lay two down Lizzie the place. I don't think she'll run a strong 2,000 metres. And that Moonee Valley on Saturday, Ambassadorial in the last number nine, he's a weird favourite. I don't really rate him.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, very weird. I think he's just favourite because he's John Barrett too. And going to lead.
Yeah. I don't even know if it'll lead. That's the thing.
I don't think he's that good.
But like going from Gay Waterhouse to Alex Ray, like I have a lot of respect for Alex Ray as a trainer. I think he's really good, but it's Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott.
Yeah. Yeah, weird favourite. I'm not having any of that. So, yeah, that's definitely my lay. One more race that I didn't mention. Race 7, Eagle Farm. I'm backing number one, Harlem Queen. I've just seen it come up here. $2.80. Have a strong bet on it. Got the best form and also have a saver on 6, Meridiana. So, Eagle Farm, race 7, number one. Strong, best form, Sydney form, and also have a saver on the up-and-comer at number 6. Sorry, I just missed that one. And my best each way is probably going to be in the Sangster, Climbing Star, and Stratton Angel. All right, let's get to a few questions before we wrap up this podcast. We'll go with the Twitter sphere first. Let me just scroll down. Done too many Twitter posts today. First, Chris, thoughts on the Japanese Brigade in Honkers on Sunday? Saturno Reeve will run a place in the sprint. Liberty Island, we're all sort of against.
Lie her.
Tastiera can win, but at his best, Prognosis is a better horse. So that's our thoughts. The Bull, how pumped are we for the Great Carnival as well?
Fantastic. And can happily say to all the punters out there that want to listen, Ben and I will be doing a preview on Monday afternoon after we crack our second drink on the Bigola at our Warrnambool residence.
Yep.
And previewing you as many races as we can physically cover that have got markets out for. We're not going to give you any predictions for races that haven't got markets out because that's an easy way to look even stupider than we can at times.
And also we want to take the price first, basically.
Yeah, exactly right. I'm not disclosing any information. Or we aren't disclosing any information that we want because I'm sure there's probably a few Sharpies that'll listen for our excellent.
I don't think so.
Well, mate, the way I've been going.
Do me a favour, mate.
The Bugle.
Fuck off.
Nico will be on the Bugle tomorrow at the G after that. Tom Baker, where do you rate West Star in the Quokka Field? It's a decent up and comer, but I think it's
good horse, not good enough.
I think it's a preparation too soon as well. I just want to see it sort of develop, but yeah, can't see it winning. Joseph Curley. Nothing on the Mullins versus Skeltons in the UK Trainers Championship.
Oh, isn't this ridiculous? Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
He's like, Mullins is like 50,000 pound behind or something. And he's like $1.20 to win because he's stacked all the races to the hilt. He's got like the first four in every race. So it's near on impossible for him to lose the championship.
Wow.
Doesn't matter who wins. It's just a reward if you're not involved.
That's interesting.
Top scenario. So phenomenal.
So Nico does have a clue about UK training ranks.
I've heard about this. I haven't bothered to care.
Yeah.
Constitution Fraud's running next week. The greatest ever, not greatest ever horse to come out of Europe.
Yeah. Two strikes and you're out. Nico's book.
Oh well, you can't be being called the greatest ever and you've fallen the last two starts when the smoke's been on. Don't give me that shit.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't help when he takes
Stern would never.
He takes off in Narnagoon and lands on the bloody hurdle in Pakenham.
Yeah. Don't fall over.
Boom Punting. Would you rather have two Bots or two Nikos as your co-stars, Benjamin?
That's an easy question.
Is it?
Think about who you started with.
Yeah, but imagine two of you.
Double trouble.
I wouldn't get an absolute word in, I'll tell you that. There'd be two blokes declaring things and disgruntled punters everywhere.
Two blokes talking over each other the entire time.
it'd
be
sense.
A constant like just
Yeah. Two Nikos or two Clark Kents, dunno. Life on the line at the Cass roulette table. Are you fellas a black or red operator?
Ponies only for me, mate.
I'm a black operator. Not that I really play roulette. I play blackjack.
Yeah. I'm not really a operator either. I'm more of a...
Just shove me pitcher two and then force my hand to hit.
I'm more a $5 on zero and double zero. And constantly.
Oh, now there's triple zero, Max said at the casino. Yeah. As if roulette wasn't hard enough. Just another variable for the punters.
Puncher 11, this is the Instagram questions now. Hey lads, when is racing previews coming to Google Play? All right, let me just explain this.
Google Play.
No. He's obviously referring to the Sixth Day, my app. So let me just explain this. The Sixth Day is my app only. But I do run it in partnership with my business partner. He does all the business side. I do the tipping. 90% of it is my own tips. Sometimes I take, you know, Bot's tip or Nico's tip and I plug them in there as well. But, yeah, the Sixth Day is just me. It's just Ben. But, yeah, often I do line up or I do put, you know, Bot's stuff in if he's really keen on something or Nico's keen on a jumper and I put that in as well. So to answer the question, it will be on the Google Play Store within the next sort of six weeks. That's our timeline, and it's coming along well. And, yeah, it's cost me a lot of money. So please sign up, all you Samsung users. Coops Irwin, where does Mr. B's trip to Hong Kong rank in all the Australian horses going overseas?
I don't know.
I think what he's saying is of the horses we've sent overseas, where does he line up? I mean, Nature Strip and Miss Andretti are probably the best two.
Black Caviar.
Oh, Black Caviar. Sorry. How could I forget? They're the top three, are they not?
Come on, mate. Well, no, sorry. There's Black Caviar and then there's those other two.
Would they be the top three and he'd be maybe
better loosen
fifth?
Up. Crisp would be probably up there with Black Caviar.
Crisp, the jumper.
Do you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Better Loosen Up won a Japan Cup, didn't he?
Yep.
Schwarzier won, but he wasn't actually like regarded as highly as some of our other sprinters, was he? But he won over there twice.
Scenic Point as well.
Yeah.
I mean, if you count Star Spangled Banner and what's that other horse called? The Sire. I can't remember it. It's the Kirimar horse that won the Coolmore that went over there.
Oh, Merchant Navy.
Merchant Navy.
Merchant Navy, yeah. Star. And obviously, but so you think as well, it doesn't really count because he went over there proper, but he sort of does count.
Yeah. A fire lap?
Yeah. Obviously. I mean, Mr. Brightside, he'd be in the top 8 Australian 10. Horses to go overseas, probably 8 to 10. All right, we've just had one more question come through. Freight Train at Flemington, nut, we're against it. Bot, how's your Hong Kong form going? Probably not well.
No, I'm completely relying on other people to do the form for me.
All right, the pressure's on me. That was from Cooper. And Jack Geno has two. Should Kai Ying Rising be the anchor for every multi this weekend?
Oh, God.
Imagine the $1.20 shot going under and you've had a fill up on every other race and you don't collect because of that.
Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Just back just everything. Bet them individually. Just don't put him in there. And then just if you want to have a big boy bet on Sunday, just do that.
I mean, I'll just say it. I've taken Kai Ying Rising into Voyage Bubble because I do think you'll win, and I was able to get $2.50 for the double. So I think that's a good bet, but I wouldn't be taking him to every single multi you have. And Jack Geno, is this Mr. Brightside's last Group 1 win? Will he kick on next season? Well,
don't know, probably.
You're assuming he's
ambitious.
Won.
It's very ambitious to assume that he wins on Sunday.
Yeah. Will he come on into next season? I think he will run in the spring,
maybe. You'd think so.
Yeah, you'd think so. He's an old tough gelding. As long as he's still competitive in Group 1 races, I think they'll keep running him. But yeah, maybe it is his last spring for Mr. Brightside. We'll soon find out. All right. That is the podcast. Bot, good luck over in Hong Kong. We hope you paint the town red.
Thank you.
If you need any recommendations for stuff to do, then hit me up.
Yeah, mate. Give me a list of joints, please.
Yeah, and you're into your Asian cuisine as well, which is very important.
Ramen, yeah. I'd be ramen every night.
You're off to Hong Kong, so hope you enjoy. Then you're off to Japan. You won't be joining us for our Warrnambool preview. Nico and I will be back on Monday, I believe. And will we have all fields out by then or just the first 2 days?
We'll definitely have the first two.
Yeah.
Maybe start some of the third.
Yeah.
If I do, I'll probably do some form, so I'll send you tips and stuff.
All right, sweet. Hello. All right, let's wrap it up there. Hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. They are betting everywhere, from Eagle Farm to Perth to South Australia, Moonee Valley, Flemington, Randwick, Sha Tin. It's all happening, and even though the really big Group 1 racing here in Australia sort of comes to a halt, there is no stopping us with better racing outside those jurisdictions. So good luck on the punt this week. We'll see you back here on Monday. Just for kicks now.